Well, we've got a unable to connect with David Martins in South Africa this morning. I know that they have rolling blackouts very frequently because of the wonderful Negro administration of the South African government. And David complains about that regularly. Tried to call him a couple of times, not able to get through. And this has happened a couple of times within the last month that his internet service is not working. So I assume that's what the case is today. And but I just got a message from the Eurofolk audience chat room. And it says, FDA declares all homeopathic medicines illegal. Just to join into the discussion that was going on, the health discussion that was going on BYD. And just clicking on the link here, obviously the Judea, the Jewish Drug Administration, the Jewish Drug Administration does not want people to have any alternatives to slash and burn allopathic medicine style that you get at your hospital and your local pharmacy. Although the pharmacies, I've noticed, even the Walgreens and the CVS and various others, have been carrying more and more alternative style medicines or supplements, better called supplements than medicines. And that's been getting better and better because that's what people are asking for. And the store shelves, even at Walmart, are filled with alternative brands that are known for their healthier products and for their more organic products than the Judea. In any case, here's from www.anh-usa.org, the Pulse of Natural Health newsletter. FDA, all homeopathic drugs illegal. And this is just 10 days ago, January 11, 2018. But all will not be pulled from the market yet. The policy comes in the form of a guidance document. Yeah, so a bureaucratic nonsense memo, which lays out the FDA's current position on the regulation of homeopathic drugs. For those of you who aren't familiar, the FDA has been raiding natural health food stores and the like, anything related, for years. They just come in, bust in, take the proprietors' computers, break down the store shelves, and put them out of business. This has been going on in America for years, but it's not publicized by the Jews media. In the guidance, the FDA says, any homeopathic drug that has not been considered, quote, generally recognized as safe and effective, by whom? By the Judea, is considered a new drug. And yet they inoculated us with vaccines that cause autism and all kinds of horrible diseases. Two, FDA has not determined that any homeopathic drugs are in this are generally recognized as safe. Three, a new drug. Well, I don't recognize their drugs as being safe. I mean, I can tell you horror stories of people who are taking. In fact, the opioid epidemic in Ohio and other parts of the country is being created by prescription drugs. They're killing people. They're killing people with these opioids. Three, a new drug cannot be marketed unless it goes through the FDA's approval process. I assume they're talking about any kind of new drug or new supplement, such as homeopathic. And homeopathic medicines are the least of all. They're the least damaging because the quantities of whatever the active ingredient is are so small as to be almost invisible. Four, no homeopathic drugs have gone through FDA approval, nor can any producer afford to take them through the approval process. Okay, well, I mean, the FDA hates any alternative form of medicine. It's just that simple. So this is what you expect from the FDA. And so, you know, there's always going to be a black market in these types of alternative medicines and supplements. There always will. And personal testimonials are going to win the day. There's no doubt about that. Personal testimonials are always going to win the day. So anyway, we just have to keep fighting for our rights as citizens, as Americans, and demand that good medicine be made available to us and not the garbage that the Judea is always promoting. Okay, since I can't get a hold of David, I'm going to do a study here from Bora Israel. And this website is Bora Israel, B-O-R-E, yeah, B-O-E-R-E, I-S-R-A-E-L, .blogspot.com. And it says at the top of the blog, there is only one God for Israel, Jesus Christ. There is only one baptism for Israel in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, actually, in Matthew chapter 5, it says, be therefore baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So, but of course, they are all one deity. Yahweh in the flesh, Yahshua is Yahweh in the flesh, etc. So we don't worry about what other religions, so-called, think about our religion, true Christianity. We could care less whether they want to call us heathen because we believe in more than one God. We don't believe in more than one God. There is one deity, and Yahshua is Yahweh in the flesh. That's all there is to it. So if the Jews don't like that, of course, the scriptures say, he who has not the Father, who has not the Son, has not the Father. 1 John 2:22. So we're doing our best to comply with the scriptures. This is dated, and he calls himself Bit Kumri, which is interesting. He is apparently aware that the Kumarians are Israelites. Monday, June 6, 2005, who are the Jews and who are the Boers? Question, if the Jews are not a pure race, but only a religion, where are the true Israelites? I think Pastor Steve and I covered that topic pretty well on this morning's Bloodlines. The true Israelites are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, and Caucasian people, and the Boer are a branch of that. And the three branches, the Protestants that were sick and tired of all of the Protestant versus Catholic wars that were going on in Europe, the Dutch, and these Protestants were primarily Germans, the Dutch, and the French, the Huguenots, the French Huguenots. So those three are groups of Israelites that migrated down to South Africa and became known as the Boer people. Now, obviously, the Dutch East India Company, was run by Jews, and their employees are today known as the Afrikaners. And so there's a huge difference between the Afrikaners and the Boer people, which we have been, with Pastor David Martins, have been exploring that topic with great clarity, that there's a difference between those two groups of people. And he continues, Jews as a nation, what are the different racial and cultural groups of Jews? Two, what are the differences between Sephardim and Ashkenazim? All right, he's asking the right questions. Let's see if he has the right answers. There's 9 questions here altogether, and we'll figure out how he answers them. Where did the Beta Yisrael Falashas come from? That's an interesting question. I would say my answer to that is there was an Israelite outpost south of Egypt in the island of Elephantine in Ethiopia. was a major, they actually had built a replica of the Jerusalem temple on the island of Elephantine, and reputed a copy of the Ark of the Covenant has been stored there for, you know, even up until present times. So those Israelites were obviously white people who migrated down there, but the people who call themselves Falashes, you know, the half black, half white. Now, it's very obvious that there was a strong white presence in Ethiopia because the Ethiopian blacks are much more fair-skinned, have much more, you know, closer facial features to the Aryan than the Negroid. So that's just proof that there were white Israelites down there for some time. I've never done a study as to when the mixing started to occur, but probably started to occur well before BC era. I mean, AD era. Next question, number four. Who were the Khazars? Are Ashkenazi Jews descended from the Khazars? Of course they are. Number five, who are the crypto-Jews, also known as Marranos? Well, there's all kinds of them. Number six, how does the Sephardi-Ashkenazi differences differ from the OCR differences? I'm not sure what he means by OCR. We'll have to go into the text to find that out. Number seven, I've heard of a group called the Black Hebrews. Who are they? Well, there's no such thing as a Black Hebrew. Number eight, what about the Black Jews in South Africa? Well, now there's Black Jews. There's plenty of Black Jews, but no such thing as a Black Hebrew. Okay. And so we're here to explain what the differences are. We're attempting to explain to the white race, the Aryan Adamic race, that the Jews are not Israelites by any way, shape, or form. And this Black Hebrew movement that's a very recent vintage, I'd say the last 10 or 15 years. Now, it's quite interesting that these blacks, who don't fulfill any of the prophecies of the Old Testament or New Testament, claim to be Hebrews and or Jews. Well, of course, the Jews have put them up to this. I don't think there's a black person on the face of the earth who knows any Bible history at all. So some Jew put this idea in their heads, and the blacks are running with it. Even so, these Black Hebrews aren't allowed into Israel because the Jews are the most racist people on the face of the earth after blacks. And then come the Orientals. White people are hardly racist at all compared to these other, peoples. And finally, number nine, who are the Jews of India and what are their origins? Now, he might be mistaking the Jews of India as the Brahmins. Pastor Steve and I have been doing a series on that, on bloodlines, explaining that the Indo-Aryans were in fact Brahmins descended from Abraham and Keturah. They created the caste system and they were the upper caste for many centuries. And you can still see in the faces of the upper caste Indians, the smarter ones, the ones who become physicists and doctors and what have you, they have a lot of Aryan features and a lot of Aryan blood, but I doubt that any of them still are pure. Although there are many Indians who look white, but with very deep tans. And I've met a few of these. I've met a few of these guys. But all of their ancestry is mixed, tainted by this time after these many thousands of years. So, into the body of the article. This posting is an attempt to answer questions that are continually asked on societal culture, mainly Jewish. It was written by cooperating lay people from the various Judaic movements. Interesting. Well, I mean, if that's the case, then there's going to be a Jewish bias here. You should not make any assumptions as to accuracy and or authoritativeness of the answers provided herein. Okay, well, if you're relying on lay people who are from the various Jewish Judaic movements, then the information you're going to get is going to be a hodgepodge. In all cases, it is always best to consult a competent authority. Oh, no, your local rabbi is a good place to start. Well, actually, many rabbis admit, you know, Edom is in modern Jewry. They do admit such things. But they generally don't make these pronouncements in public. They simply go to their magazines, their newsletters, and their encyclopedias. That's where they admit their non-Israelite origins. Okay, so let's see answers from the Jews. These should be good for a laugh. The Jewish religion is practiced by people of diverse racial and ethnic backgrounds. Okay, well, that admits right there the Jewish religion is not pure-blooded Israelite. There's an admission right there. There can't be an Ethiopian Israelite. There can't be a Libyan Israelite. There can't be an Iraqi Israelite. There can't be an Iranian Israelite. But there are such Jews. And if you look at these Jews, none of them look like real Israelites. It concludes, as a result of the continual process of conversion to Judaism. Now, can you convert by converting from one religion to another? Does that change your DNA? Does that change your race? Can a non-Israelite become an Israelite by adopting the religion called Judaism? I don't think so, folks. But that's how the Jews do it. We Israelites are forbidden to intermarry with non-Adamic people. All throughout the scriptures, we're told that. And the Jews do not. Plus, the Jews have a matriarchal reckoning of their ancestry, not the patriarchal one of the Bible. That should be a clue right there that the Jews are not Israelites. They violate every law of the Bible. The article continues, thus Jews today are a mixture of descendants of converts as well as direct descendants of ancient Israelite Jews. That is not true. There is no such thing as an ancient Israelite Jew. The Sephardic Jews stem from Edom, Esau, Jacob's brother. They admit this in their own writings. And none of the Old Testament was written by a Jew. Those were all Israelites or Judahites. There's a huge difference between a Judahite and a Jew. A Judahite is a direct descendant of the patriarch Judah. They are all pure Aryan people. Jews, as this article is admitting, are a mixture of all kinds of people. And if you're a mixture of all kinds of people, you can't be an Israelite. He continues, among North American Jews, individuals of Eastern European Ashkenazi heritage are predominant. That's true. Although before the late 1800s, individuals of Sephardic origin, i.e., Jews who settled around the Mediterranean basin at the time of the diaspora were more common. Now, this here proves, now, if this guy who calls himself Bit Kumri and his website blog is called Bora Israel, Bora-Israel, so far I am not impressed with his knowledge, because if he needs to talk with Pastor David Martins, who can explain to him that the Boers are in fact Israelites and the Afrikaners are not, okay? And that the Jews of all shades, none of them are Israelites. So he needs to be brought up to speed on this, because the Boer people are in fact Israelites, as I explained at the very top of the show. So Jews, in fact, are a mixture of all of these people, but not there's no mixture of Israelite blood in there at all. If there is any, it's only a smattering, there's no such thing as an Israelite Jew. There's no such thing as a pure-blooded Jew. Jews by this definition here, and by definition in general, are a mixed blood people. They're not pure. That's why they have all of these genetic diseases, which plague Jewry more than any other people. Other groups of Jews include the Arab and Yemeni Jews. In fact, there was, I think it was Saudi Arabia, where somebody sent me a message that the Saudis have created a robot woman named Sophia. And she looks a little Jewish. In fact, she looks a little like Hillary Clinton. And I don't know what they're hoping to accomplish with this robot woman. One lady said that this robot woman has more rights than Yemeni women or Saudi Arabian women. Okay, getting back to the article. Other groups of Jews include the Arab and Yemeni Jews. In fact, there was a Jewish kingdom in Yemen in the early Middle Ages under the rule of Junuas. That's D-H-U. Nuas. Junuas. Not familiar with that leader. There are also Jews of Persia, and I think he's talking about Judahites, because Persia and Parthia, essentially what happened, as we were discussing on Bloodlines this morning, although we didn't get into great detail about Parthia, the Persian people are related to the Hebrews, the Aramaeans. The Persians are the Aramaeans, okay? Abraham lived in Aramaic territory, and he spoke Aramaic and ultimately spoke Hebrew. And it was the Persians who ultimately spoke a form of Persian known today as German. As a matter of fact, let me see if I got a message from Renata, who is a German lady living in Canada, who sent me a message right after our Bloodline show, which was dealing with the origin of the Germanic languages from the Hebrew. And here's what she says. This is amazing, folks. But I've actually known about the relationship between German and the Persian. I think it's actually the dialect is called Farsi. This dialect called Farsi that essentially is the same as German. But here is what she says. She confirms our discussion from this morning. First of all, our numbers, the numeric letters, figures that we have, are Arabic, or they were derived in or developed in Arabia. But even in Arabia, Arabia was not Muslim until 600 AD. Those people were white, and they didn't engage in the wholesale slavery that the Muslims did. They didn't engage in the wholesale, violent activity that the Muslims did. So Arabia was a rather peaceful place. There might have been some intertribal warfare. And I would say they were basically defending themselves from the invasions of the Greeks and the Romans more than anything. And so the original Arabians were actually Shemites and possibly some Hamites thrown in there as well. But they were white. They were white. And maybe some Japhethites, stragglers who never moved north in the Arabian Peninsula. But they were all interrelated. The descendants of Japheth, Shem, and Ham would have occupied this territory. And of course, Arabic is considered a Shemitic language as well. It's because they were our kinsmen in those days. Not anymore today. There's no such thing as a white Arab, not anymore. And she says, continues, "Now I had a close friend who came from Iraq. He was an Assyrian." That's how he pronounced it, an Assyrian. "He said Assyrians are from Babylon, and they are all Christians. His language is not a written language. It was forbidden to learn under the government. Although he always said that Saddam Hussein was the best dictator ever and modeled his style on Hitler. Hear, hear. Right? He did model his government after Hitler. And he was actually set up by the CIA and then dethroned by the CIA. Anyway, Saddam Hussein aside, I wanted to tell you that this friend of mine could pronounce every German word totally correct and with ease, even though he's not a German. He's an Assyrian. He could say, now I'm going to have difficulty with this one, Eichhörnchen, Eichhörnchen, which I believe means an oak seed, a small oak seed, Eichhörnchen. And that's a real tongue twister, even for people who know German, which English people simply are unable to say. I'll buy that. Maybe Paul can try that on Tuesday. Okay. One day I found out that his people use the same words of baby language and also the games that you play with small children. And they did the thing, eich, eich, shame on you, or eich, eich, shame on you, all people are seeing you. When you stretch out your index fingers and strike the left over the right continuously, saying shame, 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 while you say that. We did that in our village in North Germany. He knew the words, even though he was an Assyrian. And he would know, and he knew that this Germanic, we assume to have been a Germanic custom. It turns out it's an Assyrian custom, what we have been telling you. That Acer, where the Nordic pagans claim to be from, is Assyria. That's what it is. The linguistic connections are there, and here we see the customs are there. So this shame, shame custom, actually, this Assyrian guy knew it. He was very familiar with it. They still do that today in Assyria. We did that in our village in North Germany. He knew the words. When I prayed the Lord's Prayer, he knew what I was praying. I did some digging and found out that Assyrian language is closely related to the Hebrew. Thank you very much, Renata. Thank you very much, Renata. All of you white nationalists and neo-pagans, we've been trying to tell you that the Jews are not Israelites, and that the Aryans are the real Israelites. So here's proof that you can't make a distinction. Well, of course, now the Assyrians today are not no longer pure white, but they still have these traditions that the Germanic Israelites brought with them into Europe. Okay? So thank you, Renata, for that confirmation of our show from this morning. Very good. Now, continuing with this site, Bor Israel, I'm really kind of disappointed. I was hoping this would be better because I was hoping that this would be a Bor person who is more aware of the differences between Israelites and Jews. But nevertheless, he confirms what we know about Jews, that the Jews are a ragtag bunch of motley crew, non-Israelites. That's what they are. They're a motley crew of non-Israelites. There's no way any of them are real Israelites. You can't have an impure Israelite. You just can't. Okay. So, unfortunately, this website has gone a direction I was not expecting. But let's continue, because some of this might be good for some laughs. And maybe I could hook this guy up with David Borsons and they could have a conversation and get things straightened out here. And in any case, he talks about Jews, of the non-Caucasian Jews that are all over the world. There are also Jews of Persian origin. The larger groups of non-Caucasian Jews include the Jews from Ethiopia. If a Caucasian is an Israelite, then that is not a Jew. Okay, the two are mutually exclusive terms. The two groups are mutually exclusive people. He continues, other Jewish communities include the Kaifeng Jews of China, now mostly assimilated. Yeah, they probably went to China with the Sassoons because the Jews set up their opium business in China. And when the Dowager Empress threatened to kick them out, they called the Rothschilds, and the Rothschilds sent the British Navy to overthrow the Chinese government on their behalf. But I'm sure Jews have been in China even since before then. He continues, until 1960, there was a community of cave-dwelling Jews in southern Libya. Wow. What might those have been? One of those tribes, Canaanite tribes, the little people, Canaanite tribes, cave-dwelling Jews. I was not aware of that. A community in Burma claimed to be Jews, and rumors and legends abound about African, Native American, and other tribes claiming Jewish ancestry. But all of these confuse the word Jew with Israel, with Israelite. And so sometimes they'll be claiming to be a Jew when they mean Judah. But even so, those American tribes, which many of them came to America around 1000 BC, in the days of David and Solomon. Solomon sent ships to America to mine tin and copper, etc., etc. So, and many of them stayed, and many of them got stranded here in America. And there's all kinds of proof of Hebrew inscriptions. There was a great book about the name of Yahweh being inscribed on various rock faces in Michigan, Illinois, and Wisconsin. Of course, in a Paleo-Hebrew script. So we know that our ancestors got around. The Jews were not a seafaring people. The Jews have never had a great navy, even that stinking hellhole called Israel. They don't have a navy. Not even close. Every other Israelite nation on the face of the earth has a bigger navy than the Jews do. So, again, this is the confusion of the word Jew with Israel. There are also Jewish communities in India. Yeah, the Jews, they also got around, but they usually went overland, or they went on Israelite ships as passengers. A 20th century convert community, the Abayudaya Jews, exists in Uganda, Africa. Okay, so the point here is that anybody of any race, of any species of even simians, can convert to Judaism, but that does not make them Israelites. Bottom line, that does not make them Israelites. Let that be clearly understood. He continues, they came from different cultures. Yeah, not from Israelite culture, not from Hebrew culture. And so particular customs developed differently, such as details of the prayer service and permitted foods on the Pesach. Well, I'm sure most of these black tribes eat pork. The Shulchan Aruch by Rabbi Joseph Caro is the definitive Sephardic work on the Halakha, which means Talmudic law, not Mosaic law. And Rabbi Moshe Isserles later added glosses to describe Ashkenazi practice. Other works describe the customs and practices of particular communities. So I'm rather disappointed that this author basically assumes that all Jews are somehow derived from Israel. When it should be, if you read the Bible, we are commanded not to mix with these other tribes of people. And he must have overlooked that. Deuteronomy 23:2, you know, no half-breed, no mamzer shall enter the congregation of Yahweh. Hello. No Mamzer, that's half-breed. Mamzer is half-breed. No Mamzer shall enter the congregation of Yahweh. So he must have missed that verse. Anyway, he continues, many of the customs are derived from the communities in which these groups arose. Yeah, no, they're not Israelite customs to begin with. If anything, I would only be willing to concede that Israelites of the Old Testament moved down into Ethiopia, because it's very obvious they had an Israelite community on Elephantine Island in Ethiopia. And they probably controlled much of Ethiopia along the Nile River for a time. I haven't done thorough research on that. But even Moses was down in Ethiopia, where he refused to intermarry with that Ethiopian woman. It says so very clearly in Jasher. And his queen, he refused to conjugate the marriage, or consummate the marriage. And she got very angry with him and instigated a rebellion against him, at which point he decided, enough of this, I'm leaving. So the book of Jasher is very clear that Moses refused to have marital relations with that Ethiopian woman, because I think it actually says that the woman was, in fact, a Canaanite woman. And the last thing an Israelite should do is marry a Canaanite woman, and of course the Canaanites are Jews. Modern Jews. He continues, additional information may be found in Paul Wexler's book, The Ashkenazic Jews, by Slavica Publishers. So there's all this, anything written by a Jew, even if it exposes the Ashkenazis as non-Israelites, must be taken with a grain of salt, because they always try to assert that the Sephardic Jews are the real Israelites, and that's not the case. Neither the Khazars nor the Sephards are in any way Israelites. Never have been, never will be. Now he gets into the Khazars. The Khazars were a Turkic tribe that migrated to the Russian steppes region and established a powerful military kingdom that existed from the mid-7th to the early 11th century. That's true. That's very accurate. And by Turkic, in those days, the remnant of the Hittites still lived in Turkey and probably still do today, but they don't call themselves Hittites anymore. That whole area is called Turkey now. Surrounded, and there were a lot of cave-dwelling Canaanites up in that area too. And in fact, I recently read a travel log where American tourists in Turkey ran into a cave-dwelling people in southern Turkey, which is where the Hittites would have been, but they were little people. They weren't full, you know, full stature, you know, 5 foot tall, as most Jews reach that height, but most Jews are about 3-4 inches shorter than true Israelites, than Aryans. So you would expect, if they're Hittites, you would expect them to be a little shorter anyway. But these are cave dwellers. And the author mentioned cave dwellers in another area in Arabia, southern Arabia. So they're still, these little people are still around, folks. There's just the scientific community doesn't like to talk about them. So it continues. He talks about the Byzantine Empire. Surrounded by the Islamic Eastern Caliphate of Persia and the Christian Byzantine Empire, and I'd say even in these days, the Persians were more white than anything else. They still hadn't been totally taken over by Islam and the slave trading that Islam was involved in. The Muhammad captured slaves from Africa, brought them in to Arabia, and intermarried with them. That's why you get your, it's not just a deep suntans. You see the hooked noses of a lot of these Arabians. That shows that they've got Edomite blood. And King Faisal even admitted he was a Jew. And Arafat, You look at Arafat, you know, the deceased leader of the Palestinian people, he looks just like a hook-nosed Jew too. So you can see none of these tribes of whatever they call themselves are pure anything anymore. They're very mixed up. And since they are mixed up, even if they have a little bit of Israelite blood, and the fact is the Palestinian people probably have more Israelite blood in them than any Jew does, but they're still very mixed and no longer qualify as Israelites. You will find blonde-haired, blue-eyed children among the Palestinians, but it's getting less and less every year. So he continues, surrounded by the Islamic Eastern Caliphate of Persia and the Christian Byzantine Empire, they chose Judaism as their state religion to avoid being religiously and hence politically dominated by either empire, and that is also correct. Joseph, King Joseph of the Khazars, called in representatives of all three religions, and he decided to take Judaism because if he had sided with the Christians, the Muslims would have been his enemy immediately, and if he had sided with the Muslims, the Christians would have been his enemy. So he did the judicious thing. He chose Judaism. And that was a smart move politically, at least at the time. So that they could avoid being labeled as heathens without identifying with either of their powerful neighbors. And that is correct. The Khazars were a potent military force in the area until about the middle of the 11th century, their last power base being the Crimean Peninsula. Yes, in our people, the Israelites passed through there 745 BC to about 600 BC, but they didn't stay. The Israelites didn't stay. They kept moving west. When they got to the Crimean Peninsula, they either went north and became Nordics, or they went west along the Danube River and became Germans, Angles and Saxons. But these Khazars came later. These Khazars, and we understand that the Khazars are part Japhethite, part Mongol, and as he says, part Hittite, he calls them Turks, part Hittite. So they're part Asian, they're part Canaanite, and part white. But according to Deuteronomy 23:2, they cannot possibly qualify as Israelites. So they were enemies of Christianity, which you would expect them to be because they were with the Mongol blood they have. There's that's where they get their violent attributes from. Although, you know, their Hittite attributes were no better. And, of course, the Japhethites were probably good fighters, too. But their power base, they sat right in the middle of the Silk Road between Europe and Asia. And what they were known for was extracting extracting tolls from the caravans that moved east and west. Okay? And a lot of these, you know, you probably have brigands, rogue bandits composed of Khazar warriors who would attack these caravans. But that would be bad for business. And so the way the Khazars, and the Khazars were heavily involved in slavery. And any society that got heavily involved in slavery automatically became a race-mixed society. So you could see that the Khazars were at least a combination of the three genomes that I just mentioned, and probably more. Probably some African blood in there too, you know, given the fact that they engaged in slavery. So rather than antagonize and kill the business of the caravans, they resorted to tolling them, and these were very high tolls. And the caravans pretty much came to expect to have to pay these tolls to pass through Khazaria, either going east or west. And so that troll, you know, the famous troll figures, you know, of those are Khazars. The hairy ape-like creatures that, what's the word I'm looking for? Neanderthals. There you go. They look like Neanderthals. And this is the troll figure is a Neanderthal figure. Well, that describes the Khazars. Very fierce, ferocious warriors who only adopted Judaism out of convenience. But nevertheless, the Ashkenazi Jews are descended from these people. That is the fact. That is the absolute fact. All right, so he continues. The Khazars had a two-king system consisting of a military king, a Khan, and a civilian king, Bek. They defeated the Eastern Caliphate in several key battles, thus ensuring the halt of Islam at what are essentially its current boundaries, much the same as what the Carolingian rulers did to the Western Caliphate in the Pyrenees. Ironically, these Jewish converts made Eastern Europe safe for Christianity. Well, I wouldn't say that. I would hardly say that. Let's just say they were defeated and became docile for a while. The emerging Rus, Russians, were also defeated, and tribute was exacted to allow Viking and Rus ships to pass through Khazar-dominated waterways to raid for treasure in the Persian cities on the Caspian Sea coast. And that is also true. However, it was, King Vladimir, who was a Christian and a Viking and a Russian, because the Slavic Rus, and the Rus were actually descended from Rosh, descendant of Benjamin, but it was primarily a Slavic country. The Vikings were Israelites that swooped down and took control. In fact, they were invited in by the Slavs for protection, probably for protection against the Khazars. And so these Vikings became the first Tsars of Russia. And the Vikings, of course, are the descendants of Israel, probably Danites, and as we talked about, Issachar, and other Israelite tribes that migrated far north, and had to include some Judah as well, because Odin was a Judahite, as we talked about this morning. The Empress Theodora of the Byzantine Empire was a Khazar princess given in marriage as a political alliance. Now this, we see, is Byzantium, even though it was Orthodox Christian. I see there's a lot of race mixing going on in the Orthodox churches, just as in the Catholic churches. And it looks like this was an early mixture here, a Khazar princess marrying into who was the ruler of Byzantium at this time. Doesn't say. Anyway, the king of the Khazars learned the Torah with the assistance, no, not the Torah, the Talmud. The king of the Khazars learned the Talmud with the assistance of Jewish preacher Isaac Sangari. So I'm seeing the value in this document is it confirms the history of the Ashkenazi Khazars, which David Duke insists they're Israelites too. But of course they can't be. They're too mixed. It's a violation of the Mosaic Law. There's no way a Khazar is an Israelite. There's no way a Jew is an Israelite. So anyway, Jewish preacher Isaac Sangari, he became a convert to Judaism in the year 740. This has to be Joseph. It has to be King Joseph Bulan. In the year 740, along with other Khazar nobles, Judaism gained a stronghold among the common Khazar people starting in the late 9th century. The soldiers in the Khazar army were Muslims, and the Slavs, Bulgars, and other ethnic groups within the Khazar Empire were also not Jewish. Okay, so the Khazaria was, as I said, is a polyglot mixed bag of genomes. They're all mixed up. There's no way that these people can possibly be Israelites any way, shape, or form. The motley crew. But in the 10th century, the Khazar tribe is described by most sources as fully practicing Judaism. Well, the leadership had adopted Judaism, and they had imported rabbis from Edom, rabbis from Edom, from Judea, and there were Hittite rabbis as well, so they were already there in southern Turkey. And so it wasn't a long trip for these rabbis to make to Khazaria. The Hebrew language came into use in Khazaria, or the Jewish version of it, Yiddish. Arab travelogues provide useful contemporary details about the life of the Khazars. Armenian, Slavic, and Hebrew sources also form the core of our knowledge about the Khazar people, but there is more left to discover. So we can see David Duke is absolutely wrong in taking the side of the Ashkenazim and claiming that they're Israelites. All of these ancient travelogues, all these ancient historical stories prove conclusively that these Khazars are a mixed bag of people and cannot be Israelites. So whatever David Duke's motivation is, he's absolutely wrong in his defense of the Jews. Now, why would a white nationalist, so-called, defend the Jews and defend any Jewish claim to being Israel? What's up with that? Is it to make sure that the white nationalists keep on believing that the Jews are Israelites so they can't learn Christian identity? Is that why you're doing this, Mr. Duke? Whose side are you really on? Are you with the Aryans or with the Jews? You can't be with both. Within the past few decades, archaeological excavations in Russia and Ukraine have unearthed Khazar jewelry, pottery, grave sites, and yes, the so-called Star of David was emblazoned on a lot of their, shields and other things. But the earlier Israelites, they had real Paleo-Hebrew inscriptions from 745 BC and a little further down, but they didn't stay. These Khazars took over. And then they have, engraved menorahs and Turkic tribes. I'd like to see if those menorahs are 7-candle menorahs or 9-candle menorahs, because the Jews have a 9-candle menorah. The Israelites had a 7-candle menorah. Currently, efforts are underway to locate the precise site of the Khazar capital of Itil. I believe Itil was actually flooded out. There was an earthquake, and the city of Itil was destroyed. Itil, Itil. Some believe the wall which surrounded Itil has been found underwater, while others associate Itil with a hill in Dagestan. Other primary sources are, one, the Kievan letter written by the Khazar Jews of Kiev in the early 10th century. Now this, and Kiev was actually became the headquarters of the Viking Rus. They simply defeated the Khazar. That's where they defeated the Khazars and took over the territory. So they ruled over the Slavs and the Khazars. Unfortunately, the Viking Rus had to deal with these Khazar Jews for their entire history until eventually the Ashkenazim defeated the Russian people in the coup of 1917. The Jews finally got their revenge. So this, in the 10th century, found in the Cairo Geniza. Okay, so the Kievan letter was found in the Cairo Geniza. That's interesting. The letter got way down into Cairo. Number two, the Khazar correspondence between Kahan Joseph and Hasdai Ibn Shaprut of Spain, now known to be authentic. Yeah, now the Jews of Spain were Sephardim. They were Sephardic Jews, because they wound up in Spain. They went overland across northern Africa, actually accompanied the Moors to assault Christian Spain, and that's how the Jews got into Spain. So we in Christian Identity know all this history very well, although he's providing details here that really seal the deal, that the Khazar Jews and the Sephardic Jews are a different group of people. And the Khazar Jews didn't even exist, as he's telling us here, for sure. until around 740 AD. So no, how can any of these people be Israelites? They cannot be Israelites. And then one more I'll just quote because we're running out of time. The Schechter letter, found in the Cairo Geniza, a semi-historical account of the conversion of the Khazars to Judaism and of the migration of Jews to Khazaria. Very good. This is the information he provides here about Khazaria is actually worthwhile. So I'm glad I opened up. All right. Thank you very much for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. See you next Sunday on Voci. Hopefully, Pastor Martins will be with us next Sunday.